Hundreds of pages of texts and emails from New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's top staff detail their conversations about the George Washington Bridge lane closures and the Sandy funding scandals. But there's hardly a shred of evidence from Christie himself. Matt Katz of New Jersey Public Radio looks at what that could suggest about the governor's involvement.
There's just one email. On the eve of the resignation of David Wildstein, who engineered the lane closures at the George Washington Bridge, Christie edits a statement for his press secretary. "Try this," Christie writes on December 6, 2013. "We, quote, thank him for his service to the people of New Jersey and the region." Randy Mastro, the lawyer hired by the governor to conduct an internal investigation, says there are no more documents beyond that email because Christie didn't know anything about it.
That's evidence that he had no involvement in the decision, no prior knowledge of the lane realignment, and that's what the evidence showed.
Mastro is also the person responsible for providing the governor's documents to the state legislature for its investigation. Sources close to the legislature say those documents also contain nothing from Christie himself. Mastro disputes that, saying there are in fact very few documents from Christie, in addition to dozens of emails sent to him about the issue. But almost all of the emails and texts about the controversies, and there were a lot, happened at the level just below the governor. John Hansen is a former FBI agent who now does private fraud investigations.
Many matters that I work as an FBI agent, and since then in the consulting world, where you look at information and you just kind of go, how could this person not have known that this was going on?
Hansen says the lack of the governor's involvement in the chatter could have been intentional to protect him from something illicit, or it could have been innocent based on the normal distribution of responsibilities in an organization.
Proving knowledge can become the difficult aspect, particularly where high-level people within organizations may have structured their organizations in such a way as to buffer them from various pieces of knowledge.
No Christie texts or emails have been provided about when Christie first read in October that a top New York official alleged the lane closures were illegal, or when the matter came up in a gubernatorial debate a few weeks later, or when his top appointees at the Port Authority testified in November that the lanes were closed for a now-disputed traffic study. The lack of correspondence is curious because Christie is an avid emailer and texter, often conversing back and forth with cabinet members during his monthly call-in radio show.
And by the way, while we were on break, John Hoffman, the attorney general, texted in and said, of course.
Democratic Senator Loretta Weinberg, who is leading the legislature's investigation, doesn't buy it that there are no more documents from the governor.
And the office of the governor might need a second contact to remind them that we don't think they were in compliance completely with the subpoena.
The lack of hard evidence is compounded by the fact that Christie says he doesn't remember details about an insignificant traffic study. In a summary of interviews his lawyers conducted with him, he used a variation of the phrase, "I do not recall," 17 times. He heard things, but he doesn't exactly remember from who. He read things, but he doesn't exactly remember when. According to Hansen, the former FBI agent, the lack of evidence will make it hard for investigators to lay this on Christie's doorstep.
Knowledge and intent. That's the most difficult part of working a fraud.
The next step in answering these questions comes tomorrow morning when a Christie aide, Christina Renna, is expected to give the first public testimony about why her direct supervisor wrote the one email we do know about. Time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee. For WNYC, I'm Matt Katz.